Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. A lot went on this past week. And, Dad, we all know in the past you've been pretty tough on refs, so I'm sure you have a lot to say about the situation that happened last week.
Well, you know, I'm sticking up for a referee.
I know, that's what I said, yes.
Tim Peel, you know, sure, the guy is going to retire, and this is his last year. And you could say, oh, well, he's only got a month to go. But you have this, I would call it a stain that you're fired. I've been fired many times. But, you know, I remember the very first time they had a mic on, a mic near a penalty box. And they had Bobby Clark, in, of all guys, to have, and Andy Von Helleman, I think it was, skated near the penalty box. And I can't tell you what Bobby Clark said, and they had that live. And they never had anything at all with live mics after that. Clarence Campbell and that wouldn't have anything at all. And then I remember I was on the bench, and Andy Von Helleman again, and he come over to the bench, and they never ever come over to the bench in those days. And he started asking, Don, I want you to change faster lines and everything. And I said to the players, I said, I think he's going a little nuts. You know, and he coming over and talking, and he was mic'd. And the mistake was...
So can I ask you a question, though? Sure. Shouldn't they have told you, whoever mic'd him, the NHL?
No,
they should have told the... Because what if you had said something?
Well,
you think they would tell the players or the coaches?
I wasn't mic'd.
No, but...
But it wasn't... Back then, it wasn't live.
It wasn't,
they were back then, they just would have recorded it.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know.
The big mistake that Tim made was that it was live, and he forgot that it was live, and that happens all the time. What he did, and you know, if it had been one of those phantom calls, like a slash or something, I could see it. But that was sort of a dive, and then it wasn't a dive, and he made a mistake of saying he was making up for one that was, and to give him a chance. Now, you can do that there, but you can't do it now. Well, they think they're with the National Football League. They have control of everybody.
Yeah, I think the NHL, first of all, I think the NHL is asking for big trouble.
For sure.
For sure. Because, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, Dad, when we were talking. I said, in the heat of the battle, what if Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews said something politically incorrect?
Yep.
And it got hot. And yeah, it would, you know what? Like, it would transcend hockey. It would lead off CNN and CTV and CBC. They'd be leading off the NHL's. I don't like knocking the NHL because they've always been good to us. But the NHL Productions is not NFL Films. They think they are, but they're not. And there are guys that get in trouble doing that. Remember, Bruce Boudreaux got in trouble.
Yeah, in between periods.
He got in between periods. He was dropping F-bombs. And they go, oh, isn't that awful and stuff like that. And
you never thought of Bruce talking like that. And that's how coaches talk.
And you look and you go, the NHL just doesn't seem to, you know, what they get out of having these guys mic'd and live is not worth the trouble that they could get into.
But then let me ask you a question. I'm just here asking questions because... Why, if you're looking out for the players and everything, why wouldn't the Players Association say, whoa, to the...
It's coming.
To the NHL. You're setting our guys up for, libel or whatever.
Now, look, let me just tell you back. John McCauley, when we get up, Boston Bruins, when we get up 6-1 or something like that, he'd call penalty after penalty on us, which was smart because don't call it on the other team. Because we'd rack up the score. And I remember saying to John McCauley after about four in a row, I said, is that enough? And he says, that's enough. I mean, they control the game.
Well, I remember you telling me, like, when it was a close game, like if you were in Philly or Montreal, and it was a close game and it was like 5 minutes to go, that he'd go by the benches and say, I'll let you play, but don't embarrass me.
Yeah, don't embarrass. The big thing with referees is don't embarrass them. Don't go up and yell in their face. And Wayne Cashman was the best of all. Wayne Cashman used to go over and let on he was taking some off a stick, and he'd be, and the referees didn't mind it. Yeah. They didn't mind it, long as you didn't go up and yell in their face and that. And you know, the big thing now that you have to be careful of. Soon as I saw they had sports gambling in, and they all have sports gambling. Now, if you're with the other, if you've got a lot of money on the and on that team, and you hear a referee call that penalty, you're mad. As soon as they get gambling in, you have to be a little more careful. And the problem is, the whole problem was that Tim forgot he had a live mic on. And besides, they look pretty stupid on there. But that was the whole problem.
Yeah, but they're always like, you watch it in baseball, like an umpire will miss a strike. That was an obvious strike. And then the guy throws the ball 3 feet off the plate and he'll call it a strike.
Well, in fact, that happened the other day in the exhibition game. The guy, he missed a strike and it was right, beautiful strike. And the next one was the inside. And it happens, but you can't have a live mic. Tim knows if you talk to him and have an appointment with him like that, having a pop with him, he'd tell you I forgot I had a live mic on. And you can't have a live mic. As you said earlier, one of the players might say something and he'd be stuck for life. You have to have control of it. If they're going to have it on, and because the gambling, once that gambling gets in, you can't have that. And Tim knows. And again, I'm repeating myself. Tim, I know you're a good referee. He was a good referee. Well, he lasted that long. He only had a month to go, too.
Can I ask you about a time when a referee was coming up to you? And which referee was it? Because I remember Mom and I were watching the game. It was either in Montreal or somewhere, and they were televising it back to Boston, and we're watching it. And a referee came up to you.
Dave Newell was really giving. No, what happened was... Well, I remember, it was so funny. It was Dave Newell.
Yeah. So I said to Mom, I said, wow. I said, he's really giving it to Dad. And Dad, you were like stupefied.
Like he was really like on TV. He was pointing his finger.
Right. He was touching me.
And you were like mesmerized. Listen, I says, look.
And I'll tell you what happened. And I know your mom and that. And you said, boy, that guy was really giving it to you. I was really giving it to him. It was in Toronto. And it was in the far corner. And I was saying something to him, and he called time.
Oh, he called
time. Oh, yeah, he called time. And now the camera's on him. He called time.
Oh, yeah.
He come right over, and you want trouble? I go down on the front of the bench, and he come over, and he poked me.
He was poking me with his thumb.
He says, I just want to tell you that's the sharpest suit you've ever worn. The television said, boy, is he ever giving it to
him? I know, they did.
Set your mark back up. I was stupid. And the players were just killing themselves. That's the sharpest suit you've ever worn in your life. And he's giving to me, boy, he's poking me.
And that was funny.
Yeah.
Especially it being televised back to Boston.
Oh, and everybody thought he was giving me heck.
Oh, for
Dave
sure.
Newell. And, you know, I'll tell you one more story about Dave Newell, if you don't know. I used to give it to him all the time. He was a great guy. And John McCauley was the head of the supervisor. So I'm sitting on the desk of the Hockey Night in Canada with Ron, and I see John McCauley coming in. I remember he had a cup of coffee, and he's stirring, and I said, I'm ready for him because he's really going to give me heck for giving Newell text. I'm like, well, and this is John McCauley. So sure, he's stirring the coffee. I remember he's stirring the coffee. Well, he says, I have a tough time. And I really liked John McCauley. He was the best referee ever. And I thought, he says, yeah, I have a young referee in Calgary. He says he's going to quit. I feel bad. He says, yeah, Dave Newell says that grapes give me that much heck. He had me almost apologizing. And I remember Dave Newell. Dave Newell, it was in Boston. We had a snowstorm. Nobody could get out. And I was after Dave Newell. I said, I'll drive him out wherever he landed so he gets out of here. He might do the next game. But he was a pretty good referee. They're all pretty good referees. I just have fun. And you know what? I used to be able to walk on those benches. You know, like the front of the... They'd let you. They colorful.
You would walk. And not it was the benches. You actually walked on the boards.
Boards, yeah.
The top of the boards.
And I could not do that like the next day.
I mean, the adrenaline had to have been flowing. I don't know how you didn't break your neck.
I don't know.
I mean,
either.
They're not that wide. And you're
now
walking.
The coaches just sit back and,
you know, with their arms crossed.
Yeah, with their arms crossed or their hands in their pockets. And they just.
You're lucky Jilly didn't push you off.
Yeah.
One time, you know, this is no kidding. I said between Peter McNabb and Terry O'Reilly, I was standing, I said, if he calls a penalty on Dwight Foster on that, I'm going on the ice after him. Like, I must have been nuts. And he did call the penalty, and I started to go on the ice.
Well, you threw a water bottle.
Well, I threw a water bottle.
What happened? Did you?
And Terry O'Reilly and McNabb grabbed me. Held the coach back.
So but the thing is, Dad, though, for as much yelling as you did, you did not get a lot of bench penalties.
Yeah, and our players never got misconducts because I was the guy behind
you,
the bench.
They knew, the players knew that you would be the one doing the yelling, and that's why they didn't get penalties.
Very, you know, now that I think of it, I can't remember us getting a misconduct. And it was a lot of fun. And I remember one time. Now that we're on referees,
yeah.
Ron Ricks. I remember in Pittsburgh, him and I used to go. And he was over at the penalty box giving a penalty or something. And in Pittsburgh in those days, well, you still do, you have to go across the ice. So at the end of the period, he's given us one of the penalties. And I started to run because I couldn't stop.
No.
I'm sliding and I banged him up against the boards. I didn't mean to. Now I'm in really trouble. And I remember, when you touch a referee, you're really in trouble. So I remember, about 2 days later, I get a call from Diane. I never forgot her name was Diane. It was Clarence Campbell. And he says, Mr. Campbell, no, first of all, she said, is this Mr. Cherry? Yes, it is. And you know, you have to be very polite. And he says, Mr. Campbell, I'd like to speak to you. Oh, boy. So I'm sitting there, and he makes you wait about 3 minutes. Campbell here. So he says, explain your actions in Pittsburgh. So I did my best. You know, I slid. That's the most, I forget what he called it.
Inane.
Inane script that he ever had, I've ever heard in my life. And Harry's listening. Somehow he's listening. He never let me forget it. He says, I'll tell you something.
Did you get fined?
Yeah, $2,500, which was, a lot of
dough. Did you pay it or did the Bruins?
No, they paid. Mm-hmm. But one time, Harry never paid. It was really good. Oh, Harry was a sharp guy. I got fined $750 for saying something or something, and I got fired by the Bruins. I actually didn't get fired, but I got let go by the Bruins, and I got the bill. And when I went to Colorado, I had to pay it.
They sent you an invoice for your fine.
Yeah, and I had to pay the $750. Harry,
bet your mom wouldn't have been happy.
Oh, I know. That's how stupid I was. And but anyhow, I had a lot of fun with the referees. And John McCauley, getting back to Tim Peel, John McCauley, they used to control the game. They really did, and I thought it was a lot better. And Tim, again, end this here. Tim made a mistake. He forgot the thing was live on. And as you said, Tim, they have to be careful. And don't think the Players Association and don't think the owners won't have something to say about this one. You know, Tim, I want to talk about Bobby Plager. Bobby Plager, when I played against him in the American Hockey League, he was the toughest guy in the league. I think he played for Baltimore. What was it called? Skipjacks? I think it was Skipjacks.
Yeah. No, Clippers.
Clippers, oh yeah, but boy, they were called Skipjacks. Weird name. That's a funny name, Skipjacks, isn't it?
It's not a tuna fish.
No, yeah. It was Clippers. It was Clippers now that I think of it. Anyhow, he was the toughest guy in the league, and he was the funniest guy. I mean, I talked to my brother Richard this morning about him. My brother Richard knew him quite well, and he was with St. Louis. He was Mr. St. Louis Blues. He was there. And it's the first time I've ever seen a team affected by somebody that was killed. Now, he was killed in a car crash. And I don't know what happened. We'll find out, you know, what happened. He just hit this car, and then he hit a cement back. But it was the first time I've ever seen a team affected. And St. Louis was effective. And Coach Berube, what is he going to do? I mean, he has to play the game.
Yeah, because you were saying that he was down in the dressing room all the time and the players saw him all the time. And we put up on Twitter during the finals, he was around and you took a picture of him. So he was pretty involved with the team.
When they won the Stanley Cup, he held the stand. That's how involved he was. And he was a funny guy. I could tell you a funny story. I can't tell a story. That's how racy it was. But I remember I went out and did a banquet. And I looked and all these fancy people and everything in front and everything, and he got up and told a joke that it would curl their hair. Anyhow, he had a joke for everybody. He was great in the dressing room, and he was great, Mr. St. Louis. And I tell you one thing, and he had a brother named Barkley. Someday, maybe next week, I'll talk about Barkley, his brother. His brother was a long time St. Louis too, and they both played together. Billy played professional too, and when they raised his Bobby Plager, it was beside Bob Gassoff. We must tell a story about bad Bob Gassoff. I could go on and on.
So what kind of player though was, like, you played against Bob? So what kind of player was he? Because they said, you know, the rough and tumble, but was
no, he was a good hockey player. Now back in the days when he played, There was six teams, and they only carried five defensemen, believe it or not. They didn't carry six like they do now. So that's 30. Now there's 300 defensemen in the league right now. And so as soon as there was expansion, he went out. He was with that organization 53 years.
Wow.
53 years he was Mr. St. Louis, and they loved him out there. And I think the St. Louis Blues, they played Anaheim. First game, Anaheim has won in a regulation. And they showed pictures of the players, and they had tears in their eyes. I never seen that before. And and they played. I watched that game, and it looked like the puck wasn't frozen. That's how bad it was for the first two periods. They had no chance at all. I think they were still shook up. I know they were all shook up, and because he was a tough guy. And we must talk about Barkley and later on at Gassoff, but Bobby Plager, boy, he was Mr. St. Louis. I sure it was tough to see him 53 years with the same organization. The only guy I think is longer would be Harry Sinden, and with the Boston Bruins. But that's a long time, 53 years to be with an organization.
Okay, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. It's a First Nations owned online casino and sports book. It's tailored to Canadians, which means you can use Canadian money. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on the big wheel to win some big dough. And your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. So I got to tell a quick story, though. This is Sunday morning, and last night we were on a podcast with Dale Weiss and Aaron Thomas, Habs Tonight, which was a really good...
That was good.
It was lots of fun. So we were on and taking a lot of questions. So we come up, and it's about halfway through the third period, and it's 3-1 Edmonton is leading. So it was Saturday night. And did you know last night, like, that was the first time Connor McDavid ever played in Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada.
Get the best, like, hockey player in the world.
Yeah, he says, they always seem to sneak me in on Mondays and Wednesdays. I never got to play Saturday night in Toronto. So it's 3-1 with about about 9 minutes to go. And Dad sat down. He goes, I'm Toronto's good luck charm. They'll win this game. And I go, it's 3-1. I mean, and they were just smoking. Dad goes, watch. He says, 3-1. He says, as soon as I turn on the Leafs, they score. Bing, bing, bing.
We walked over.
Yeah, and they win. So from now on, I'm going to call up. If you're watching the Leaf games, I'm going to bet.
Oh, now McDavid's mad at me.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Leafs.
Honestly, every time I walk in a room, they'll score. I mean, there was 3-1. I says, oh, Toronto's winning the game. And with 9 minutes to go, I said, they're winning the game. I says, I'll sit down, they'll score. Bing, bing, bing. And it went into overtime, and I said, they'll score.
So yeah. What time did it start? A couple people texted me that it was going on. So
the Habs Tonight was on at 8 o'clock. And it was funny, one of the hosts is Dale Weiss, who played for Montreal and a bunch of things, and so on a bunch of teams. and he showed a clip that his first game in the National Hockey League. So it must have been, first game in the National Hockey League. Dad showed him that he scored a goal and they disallowed it.
Yeah, and I said if it had been Crosby, and he that should have been counted.
It should have been counted. And then he got into a fight and he goes, that was the highlight of my career. He says, my first game, he says, I got showed a goal even though they didn't count it. And he says, a fight on Coach's Corner.
And he won the fight.
And he won,
So. Boy, he was close to tears. I didn't quite know what's going on. Tim
so
said,
did you have fun though, Dad?
Oh, I had. It was like doing Coach's Corner. Yeah. Aaron was good too, and you know, and they brought guys on. Emerson, I was a little worried. Emerson. I didn't know what to say.
There was they took calls, so it's kind of like it was almost like an internet version of a call-in radio show, right? So, and they had people, and so the first question we took was a young lad named Emerson, and he probably looked like he was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, he was about that,
and. He could just see he was kind of down.
Really down.
Said, you know, I want to get to the next level of hockey, but, you know, everything's canceled. What do I do?
And I didn't know. I what do I say?
Well, there's nothing you can say to this. What can you say?
So I turned to Tim, and Tim said, the only thing you can do is just, what'd you say, Tim?
Just try to get ice time. But the city rinks, they've taken the ice out. And, you know, and that's the thing is, like, I went to a practice, which was not, we weren't supposed to go to, but we went, took a look, and talking to the parents, they said the kids they're depressed, they're nervous, they're anxious, they don't know, like, they're 15 years old, and unfortunately in hockey,
they're playing college hockey, aren't they?
Yeah, college hockey, the WHL's back, and the Quebec League's playing. Yes. Ontario, they're talking about maybe getting a hub, but... You know, Emerson was like he was.
This is minor hockey.
Minor
with the
hockey.
Parents that they're trying to make their
He finished hockey.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to do.
You don't know what to do.
So sad.
So in the GTHL, they canceled the season yesterday. So there's like they're looking towards, you know, next fall.
So the kids will be sitting at home safe.
And so they don't know what to do. And it's tough, you know, and they talk about mental health of the kids. And these kids are, you know,
he was depressed.
Their focus is on. You know, it's their social life.
Oh, it's their parents' social life too.
And all that was taken away, and it's just these kids are devastated.
You think they'd do something? I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what to say, and I turned to Tim and I said, "Tim, what is he going to do?" And you said, "Just keep skating, heavy skating."
I think if anybody's parents or kids are listening out there, eventually. The leagues will find you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it'll get
straight.
Don't get down. Don't say, this is a lost year and they're going to miss me. That's not going to happen. They haven't quite figured out how it's going to happen. But you got guys like you know the hunters.
You're there. Yeah,
they'll find you eventually, and they'll start it. They'll think of something. You feel bad because you just.
That was a good show last night. Dale was good. He had a colorful jacket on, and he looked good. He had a nice hat on.
Did you have a suit on? I didn't.
I had a beautiful orange.
We were looking for a Boston because it was called Habs Tonight, so we were looking for a Boston.
I didn't want to wear. I wear a Canadian hat. I didn't wear the Boston hat.
You didn't wear.
Well, Canadians aren't having a tough time.
So
Eric, there was a call about Eric Staal.
Yeah, they were talking about Eric. So how do you think Eric's going to do? Montreal, that's a big... I think Eric's probably trying good to get out of
Everybody's glad to get out of Buffalo. Isn't it? It's sad in Buffalo. I mean, that is sad. Nobody will touch Taylor because unless you pick up a bit of his salary because he's got a pretty good salary. Yeah. But I thought they'd do pretty good. I thought he did... You know, I thought Eric... But I just... I see they don't block shots. I watch them. They don't block shots.
They're down.
They're down, and they're going to set a record. What do they got, 16 straight or something?
16 or something like that, yeah. I'll tell you a quick story about Eric Staal. One of the first times you and I saw him, we went to Peterborough, and there was I think it was a Silver Stick tournament in Peterborough, and I remember you were really sick. You were
Cold.
You had a bad cold. So it was in the playoffs, and he was playing for, I guess, the North –
Thunder Bay.
So they're playing at Thunder Bay. They're in the playoffs of this tournament, and they're in overtime. And so he's in his own end, and he's got the puck, and the guys are kind of forcing him. So he decides to put it around the boards. So he's 15, and this is to get to the semifinals. So he hammers it around the boards. It hits the stanchion behind the net, comes straight out, hits the goalie in the back of the head, and rolls into the net. So the referee points to the puck in the net, and like all the kids are skating around looking what's going, and the goalie's kind of, and Eric, he just was devastated. And
he wouldn't come up, eh?
No, and Bobby Orr was representing him at the time, and Bobby wanted him to come up, so he would have been 15 to come up. He wouldn't come up. He was just, it was like somebody ran over his dog, eh? He was just so down.
Yeah, I remember that now that you say it, that they were, you know, they I hate to say this, but they were glad to get out of Thunder Bay because it was like Gretzky. You get parents that are jealous of them. They were so good. And boy, the Stahls, I think he'll do good in Montreal. I think he'll do good. I think he's depressed. I mean,
probably a little embarrassed.
Embarrassed. And he's Montreal. They get a good shot now. Price ever gets hot, like we were talking last night. And I hated to correct Aaron. He said he's the best goalie. He's not the best goalie right now.
No.
No. And I said, no, he's not the best goalie. He could be the best goalie.
Man, but as you just, it was like, you know, Dale and you were saying, like, if Vancouver sneaks into the playoffs, Demko could win a series for him.
Or Holpe.
Or Holpe. Or if Montreal gets into the series, it gets into the playoffs, Price could do what he did to Pittsburgh last year. So it's.
If he ever gets hot, if Carey Price ever gets hot and plays the way he did a couple of years ago, look out for the, and that's like a lot of teams, like as Smith last night. I mean, come on, the winning goal. And they wanted to look so good, hockey night in Canada, and you know, they're both from Kingston, and they both played well except for the not last 9 minutes. But the winning goal went in off a guy's
nurse escape. But it was funny. Dad just sat down and goes, "No, they're." He goes, "Toronto's going to win." He says, "I am their good luck charm."
Now McDavid's bad. I mean, they'll say keep away. But anyhow, I just wanted to say that you were going to talk about that kid, Rocco Grimaldi.
Right. So just one other quick thing, too. Nobody knows about him because he plays in Carolina. But Dougie Hamilton's got scored in 14 straight games.
Yeah, nobody knows, though.
No. You know, it's like who?
That's what anybody that's out west. It's like you forget about them.
Or Carolina or those places.
Any of those places.
You know, like, so everybody's talking about Norris Trophy. They're not even mentioning him. And he's playing great. He's a plus player. 14 straight game goal scoring streak or a point scoring streak. Nobody, but, you know, anyway. So the Predators, Rocco Grimaldi, last week, he had 4 goals against Detroit, poor Detroit. And he scored a hat trick in 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
What, is that a record?
No, funny you asked.
Oh,
I remember this. It was the Billy Mozienko. I think he's from Winnipeg. I'm not sure. Where is he from, Tim? I think he's from Winnipeg.
There's a lot of Italians playing hockey.
No, I don't know. I think he's, I don't know, Mozienko. I don't think so. I don't think he's Italian. Something like that. He played for the Blackhawks. He got 3 goals. Now listen to this, Sydney, in 21 seconds. Three goals in 21
is
seconds.
Is that the same shift? Would that be the same shift?
Yeah, it's the same shift.
Now let me drop the puck.
Oh, wait a minute. I looked this up. Hawks were losing 3-2 in the third, right? At 6:09, he scores from the faceoff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 6:20, he scores from the faceoff again. And 6:30, he scores the third goal with 21 seconds to go. I mean, 21 seconds. I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean, you think it'd be get up and back. And you know what? I saw an interview he had after, and he said, funny thing is, I hit the post. He would have had 4. He would have had 4 in time. But can you imagine scoring 3 goals in 21 seconds in the faceoff? Bing, 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 bing. So anyhow, Rocco did good. Don't get me wrong. Rocco did good, but Billy did better.